I'm often amazed by examples of God's creation, especially the creation of human beings. To think about that tiny egg, that it has all the DNA, all the blueprints, and the building blocks for a complete human being, and all the characteristics of the mother and father. It's just an amazing thing to think about. I was in a store once looking at magazines, and I noticed this boy. He was really engulfed in a magazine. He was there, about 13 years old of age, and he was sort of a husky kid with a broad neck, and he had red curly hair and thick lenses on his glasses. And after that, I heard, "Come on, son, we got to go." And this man appears, and he was a big fellow. He was stocky, and he had neck, kind of thick neck, and he had red curly hair and real thick glasses. And I said, "Look at that. That's a perfect clone of the father from that egg." So they talked a while, and he was showing his dad the Hot Rod magazine, and they asked him questions, and they were interested in something. And then they took off. And their walk was the same thing. They both walked kind of like waddle-like ducks, you know, and their feet were going out like that. And I said, "Again, it's just a clone." But they enjoyed each other's company. And I noticed this because I thought, what a refreshing thing to see a man and his son who had this close relationship, time with each other together. The boy seemed to look up to his dad. And I thought, now there's a boy who not only walks like his dad, but he walks with his dad. And I thought, well, that reminded me of Scripture in Genesis 5, where it said, "And Enoch walked with God." Well, what does it mean to walk with God? I, too, believe that I walked with my dad. I looked up to him and learned a lot from him. We had a good relationship. We got along fine. But I learned to walk with God, to walk with my father. But what does it mean to walk with God? Do I walk with God? Do you walk with God? In the sermon this morning, let's take a close look at what it means to walk with God. Not only Enoch walked with God, but we read in Genesis 6 that Noah walked with God. The word translated walk here is from the Hebrew word. It means halak, and it means to walk with someone habitually and continually. So what the Bible is really saying, that Enoch and Noah were in habitual fellowship with God. Wouldn't it be great if someone looked at us and said, "That person walks with God"? When I was first called into the truth in 1971, I slowly began to read the Bible and understand. That's one of the things that first impressed me, that these people in the Bible had this close relationship with God, that they actually walked with God. He was real to them. And they had this habitual fellowship with God. And as we heard, they had time for it because they didn't have all the gadgets. But that impressed me. So they depended on God, and I soon saw that God, the people in God's church, strive for this same sort of thing. It wasn't a once a week relationship with God. It wasn't a Christmas and Easter relationship with God, which I saw every year in the church that I used to go to. But it was my life is in danger relationship with God. But it was a daily, habitual relationship with God, both through the good times and the bad times. When we seek daily relationship with God, we're forced to think about how we walk with others every day. What kind of an example did we set today with the wife or the husband or the children or somebody you work with? We began to analyze why we reacted to certain things that day, that little situation or the problem we had, the trials during the day. And at the end of the day, we look back and ask ourselves, "Did I walk with God today?" We can meditate about that too. Did I walk with God today? Was I right there with him? Was he with me? Was I swinging my arms and breathing properly and keeping pace with God? From side to side or wasted motions? No, straightforward walking with God. Not huffing and puffing and wheezing. It takes practice to walk with God. Sometimes when we try to walk with God, we stumble. But that's natural. That's part of learning. little children, don't they stumble when they get up and try to walk? And they take a few steps and then fall down sometimes with, they're all pouting their lips like they didn't get there. Well, that's us when we first want to walk with God. We're inspired to learn everything we can about God. We work hard, and that's good. That's the first love that we read about in the Bible. Of course, sometimes we take things so seriously that we push our relatives and family too hard, and that's not good. And that's because we don't fully understand the meaning of some of these things and what we're doing. One church friend from many years ago, she said that she was only school age when her father was called, and he read that you shouldn't make a fire at home. So she said for 24 hours every week during Sabbath, there's no fire, no cooking, the oven didn't work, they had to have something cold. Well, the next thing was she realized that he was so serious that the furnace wasn't turned on either. And they lived in a rural area in Pennsylvania. Winter was approaching, and it was kind of nerve-wracking. But thankfully, one of God's ministers happened to pass through their area, she said, and counseled with them and said two things, and he told them the truth about this thing. And she was relieved before the family froze to death, the way she put it. Well, thankfully, one of God's ministers passed through, or otherwise it would have been too bad. We have to be careful. We have to understand what we're doing and how we should walk with God. If we're going to walk with God, we have to look at how Jesus walked as a beginning. In Luke 5, verses 31 and 32, we see that the scribes and Pharisees complained that Jesus ate and drank with publicans, that is, Jewish tax collectors, and sinners. Well, Jesus may have walked with them, but he didn't get involved in their sins. See? He didn't get involved in those practices at all. In fact, Jesus answered these critics in that same, those two verses, Luke 5, 31 and 32. We read, Jesus answered and said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners for repentance." If we imagine how Jesus would walk on this earth today, would he sit and look at some of the television programs that we're tempted to look at today? No, he would walk away from them quickly, and we should be walking away from them along with him. Satan doesn't walk with God. In fact, he's totally out of sync with God. And yet Satan would just love for us to walk with him. And he's an expert communicator. His influence in the entertainment and consumer fields, whether it's TV, music, video games, toys, magazines, books, advertising, is so strong today that if we're not careful, we too could find ourselves pulling away from God and walking along that glittery path with the arch-deceiver, Satan. He's like Pied Piper. More and more people just can't stop following him and with all his gadgets that we talked about. He has helped to destroy the lives of people from top officials all the way down to family members. Now let's review some basic principles about learning to walk with God. As you know, there are several steps to be taken. First, we can't walk with someone until we get to know them. So we first have to get to know God. We need to study the Bible and get to know him, listen to him, and decide whether or not we want to follow his instructions. If we don't want to, that's our decision. Grace is God's kindness to us, as shown in his revealing himself to us. Since a person cannot find God on his own, how could you possibly have faith in him? You've got to know him. And so, unless God reveals himself in some form, because Satan is too busy deceiving people, they'll have no idea of what to look for. So when God reveals himself to us, we gain the possibility of having faith in him. And when his gift of faith comes, God can choose to call us if we accept the gift of God's call. Accept the truth, repent of our sins, and are baptized, then we have the opportunity for salvation. Then we begin to know God, but we must accept the Word of God as the main source of truth about God. God does not force us, but He calls us. As I review these steps, let me read from page 9 of our church booklet, United Church of God booklet, Transforming Your Life, The Process of Conversion. Quote, God issues the invitation. He draws our hearts toward Him. He grants us the desire to learn His ways, to submit our wills to Him. But our natural inclination is to resist submitting to God's laws. You can read about that in Romans 8, verse 7. Yielding our will to God is truly a miracle. For it's God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. That's the end of the quote from that booklet. Then as part of God's called, chosen, and faithful people, we have the opportunity to develop a personal relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ and learn how to walk with Him. But there are these steps we have to go through. In Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, God asks the question, can two walk together unless they are agreed? The only person that can walk with God is a person that conforms to the way God walks. Two human beings could have a compromise on how to walk, but there's no compromise with God. We must change to be in agreement with Him, a change that is only possible through seeking God in order to be like Him and walk with Him as Enoch and Noah did. The words walked and walking are common biblical terms regarding interaction with God and other people. These are often applicable when we're studying as how we can learn to walk with God. And here are some scriptural samples. I mentioned in the beginning that the book of Genesis states that both Enoch and Noah walked with God. Enoch, first, in a society of unspeakable wickedness, he walked with God for over 300 years. One commentary said that he spent his life, a life of spiritual communication with God. Also that Enoch was well pleased with God. So he definitely walked with God for 300 years. Noah came later than Enoch, and he lived for 950 years. He was the first person in the Bible to be called righteous in the Bible, as stated in Genesis 6 and verse 9. Now, in the New King James Version, it doesn't state it that way. The version translated like this, Noah was a just man, perfect, my footnote says blameless, a just man, perfect or blameless in his generation. So Noah also walked with God. Noah was the son of Lamech and the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, as we know. And as everyone knows, he was the builder of the ark. And he and his family escaped the flood. Now, Noah was honored by heeding God's instruction to build the ark and spending all that time with all of his energy poured into that project that went on for a long time. Noah, immediately after that, he offered burnt offerings to the Lord for rescuing him and his family from the flood. And God promised in return to never again to curse the ground or destroy every living creature. We read that in Genesis 9:21. So that was what God thought of his request. Besides Enoch and Noah, there were many other of God's servants that also walked with God. David was a man after God's own heart, as we know, and it says, David walked before the Lord, and David walked in his ways. You can find that in 1 Kings chapter 3. Hezekiah walked with God. He said, remember me, O God, how I have walked in your ways. Joshua is another great king of Judah. It is said of him that, named Josiah, that Josiah walked with God. The Apostle Paul walked with God too. In Philippians 3, verse 17, in the English Standard Version, ESV, it says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. So he was saying, basically, in other words, follow us because we're following God and we're walking with God. In Deuteronomy 5:33, says, you shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may be, that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. We're encouraged to walk in God's ways. Don't walk in your own ways. Walk in His ways. In 2 John 6, we read, this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. So if we're walking with God, wouldn't we be walking the path of His commandments and want to follow them? Psalm 1, verse 1. In Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So sometimes these scriptures give us a way not to walk, and sometimes a way we should walk. That we not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14. Proverbs 4:14. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. It's logical that if you walk in the way of evil, you are walking the way of Satan. And that's not the way to go. Daniel 4, Daniel chapter 4, verse 37. In Daniel 4, 37. And those who walk in pride, he is able to put down, or another word for that is humble. He can humble somebody, put them down. I think that was a scripture that referred to Nebuchadnezzar. When you hear about when I hear about a snob or a arrogant person who is in love with themselves, like somebody from an athlete or a movie star, entertainers, politicians, or a person who curses God and is against anyone else who loves God. They're outspoken about that today everywhere, and they want to go take a lawsuit against somebody who mentions something that pertains to the Bible. Or an extremist who wants to torture or execute anyone who does not believe or honor their God, small g. Then a certain scripture comes to mind to me. It's Romans 14, 11 and 12. I'll go there. Romans 14, 11 and 12. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. It will be a humbling awakening for the people I just mentioned, I think, when in the world tomorrow, when they're alive again, because they're all going to have to bow down to those that they despised or wanted to kill. The Bible shows that we don't walk with God with a proud look. That's pretty obvious. It's made clear in the book of Proverbs, where he lists seven things that he hates. And the first one on that list is a proud look. Now, some Bible versions substitute the word proud look. They substitute haughty eyes. Here's the definition of haughty. Disdainfully proud. Synonyms are insolent, lordly, overbearing, and arrogant. Now, if we like any of these qualities, we won't be walking with God. He makes that clear. He wants humility. In Micah 6, verse 8, Micah chapter 6, verse 8, says, "And what does the Lord inquire of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God?" There's another case. So we see that humility is an important quality in walking with God. Psalm 119, verse 45. Psalm 119 and verse 45. "And I will walk at liberty, for I see your precepts." I thought it was a little more clear in the New Living Translation. "And I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments." I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments. Ephesians 5 is another place in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also walked. Christ has also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." So if we walk with God, we are walking in love. Why is that? Because God is another one of love is another one of God's names. God is love. We'll be walking with the love of God. In 2 Corinthians, the next one I have, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. I'm giving you a lot of scriptures today, but they're short ones. I just hope it helps. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. "For we walk by faith, not by sight." We need to have faith to obey, to trust and follow God's ways. Think of the faith of the apostles. You take Paul, for example. All the trips he took, all the threats and problems he had, physical harm, that took a lot of faith. So he certainly walked with God. Romans 8. Romans chapter 8 in verse 1. Romans 8, 1. Another brief one. "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." So we are to walk with the Spirit and follow the lead of God's Holy Spirit in our lives. That's what that one means. Well, faith and obedience are required to walk with God. It must be according to His Word. A man's walk is pleasing to God only when it is in agreement with how he walks. This is an important thing, because to the degree that we conduct ourselves like God, it is also to the degree to which we are a faithful witness to Him. How we walk shows how we witness. Walking with God is a big order, I know. We're all trying to. We have to have the Spirit of Christ in us, study His Word, and repent daily. We must be praying always to overcome sin and be close to Him. Jesus said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." Christ's walk was in perfect agreement with the Father. So he sets an example for us. We can follow him as well as Father. And that should be our goal. Well, why are we here? We're here to be converted Christians, to walk in a newness of life, to overcome sin, to further God's work at this time, to look for the real gospel of Jesus Christ, the real kingdom of God. We must submit and put him first in our lives if we're going to walk with God. Now, for the balance of this sermon, I want to approach this from a little different point of view, walking with God. Okay, God, or Jesus, is the expert walker, and he is our walking coach. And we are the students, the ones who have to learn how to walk. We've got to follow a few tips from him about walking. I used to be a jogger when I was younger, but now I like to walk for physical exercise. This is walking, brisk walking, where you know the heart starts to pump because it's an exercise and you stay healthy. Because I realize in records and things that talk about this say you don't have to wear yourself out to get the exercise. A brisk walk will do it. As you get older, that's good for me. So I've read some materials. I've seen some basic tips on getting the most out of walking. Now, some of these tips remind me of what is required to walk with God. I'd like to share with you some of these tips on walking with God. Tip number one, first tip, begin by choosing proper clothing. Proper clothing. When you walk, you should wear comfortable clothing, fits well, loose, and proper shoes. When you walk with God, you need also to put on this proper attire. If we take our Bibles, we'll see this in Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 17. Let me turn there. Ephesians 6, starting with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, this could start, they could have just started right here saying, if you want to walk with God, we'll read the next verse, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, another bit of clothing there, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We also read in 1 Peter, we need to be clothed in humility, which we've already discussed. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So you see, the first tip is to have the right attire to walk with God. A second tip, walking with God, warm-up exercises. We need to do some warm-up stretching exercises so we won't get chin splints and muscle cramps when we pour on steam with this brisk walk. To walk with God, we first need to stretch that muscle, the mind, with Bible study and prayer. Before we came to church, we were walking in that direction. We were walking in the direction of this world, the way that leads to dark alleys and bad neighborhoods and dogs on the loose. And then God opened our minds, and we soon learned that we had to repent, turn around and go in that direction, the opposite direction. We learn this through sermons and prayers, Bible study, meditation, some fasting, fellowshipping, all the things that we do in church. We learn this through all these things. These are the exercises, the tools that we need before a good walk. Our minds are gradually open to this stretching exercises, our spiritual exercises, spiritual muscles. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'll read that one. 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17. But as for you, continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, training, or discipline in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The third and final tip that I'll give you today for walking with God, don't give up. Stick to the walking schedule. Set goals that you will cover a certain number of miles each time you walk. Set these goals. Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You don't want to give up. That's very important. And in 1 Peter 1, in verse 4, 1 Peter 1, 4, now this is in the King James Version, Peter talks about an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. That's something to strive for. No higher goal than the example of Jesus Christ. In conclusion, how do we walk with God? We strive to have daily, habitual fellowship with him. We don't get this by walking with him once a week, or now and then, or walking in the world the rest of the time. No, that's a sure way to get a muscle cramp or wander the wrong direction. Now, if we do wander from the path momentarily or stop to catch our breath occasionally, if we have to stop to tie our shoelaces, they're very merciful and they'll wait for us. But they want us to stay with the program, grow to perfection, and get the full aerobic effect of the walk. This fitness walk. We can achieve the goal if we keep our eyes on the coach. We'll not only walk like God, as we read about Enoch and Noah, but we will walk with God.